going? Welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe, because I could talk kayfabe.
Yep. We are qualified to do that.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
And we're going to talk kayfabe.
Yeah, we're going to talk about another wrestling magazine from the days of the kayfabe.
Yeah.
When wrestling was real and still real to me.
It is still real to me, damn it.
Well, the bumps are real. The risks are real. But wrestlers aren't real. Or whatever the fuck it is I want you to say.
Yeah. You know, so
Dolph Ziggler doesn't really hate The Miz. They're actually like best friends.
I think Dolph Ziggler is a heel now, isn't he?
He's cranky. Yeah. I don't know if he's a full-blown heel, but I think he's cranky.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of his gig.
Yeah, he attacked Jerry Lawler pretty recently.
Oh, no.
Why is Jerry Lawler not wearing a shirt when he's doing the interviews now, by the way? Like, nobody
missed that, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, he was hosting the King's Court, and Dolph Ziggler was the guest, and Jerry Lawler did not have the shirt on. He was just wearing the robe and the wrestling tights.
But did he have, like, the strap?
No, he didn't have a strap. He was completely shirtless under the...
Maybe he thinks he's been doing some work underneath there, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I don't want to see a 70-year-old man without a shirt on. That's just me.
He's been pulling that strap down for years. You know, he figures, you know, this is towards the end. When he can flaunt it on TV, when he gets on TV, might as well. I mean, because he's not on there on a regular basis anymore.
No, he's not.
You know, they're only trotting him out every so often.
Yeah.
You know,
he's calling the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, he'll call the Rumble.
As of time when this has been published, the Royal Rumble will have happened.
Mm-hmm,
But he's calling the Royal Rumble.
Hopefully he won't enter the Rumble. That's just a waste.
Yeah, how many spots are left open in the Rumble?
They have maybe 7 or 8 spots left. So, you know, I and since it's like an anniversary kind of Rumble,
yeah,
I think we're almost guaranteed to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan show up.
Yeah, there's got to be some legend. Whatever. It'll have already happened by the time you listen to this.
I hope Hulk Hogan shows up.
It's all moot.
I hope Hulk shows up and is in the Rumble.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. I think that would be the biggest surprise. That'd be even bigger than like Kenny Omega showing up.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, but I love the Rumble. I'm gonna look forward to watching it.
Have you ever attended a Rumble live?
No.
Oh.
I've never attended any really insignificant wrestling event.
No.
Live. I've only pay-per-views I've been to. What was it?
Have you gone to a SummerSlam that was out here? Remember?
No.
You know how SummerSlam was out here every year for like 5 years in a row?
Oh, I hear. No.
Yeah.
No.
I never went once either.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Because, you know, the thing is, first of all, I mean, by the time I got to a point where I could go,
yeah,
like financially, where I felt like, well, maybe this is something I should do, I just never did.
Yeah.
And then by the time I was like, all right, maybe I should go. They're like, we're going to New York.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I guess that's how we're going to do it, but...
It's kind of a similar situation with me. I was, like, broke, and then all of a sudden, oh, I have all this money, I can go, and oh, they're not here anymore.
I had a chance to go at one point where... here's the thing. I didn't have a chance, but I felt I should have had the chance when we did that WWF or WWE 2K thing where...
2K12?
2K12.
Yeah.
Where Joe and I, through means of our buddy...
The Big Mosh...
The big Josh, as recounted, called by AJ Styles.
Yeah.
We got him to like get us into like this thing where they basically let you preview the game.
Yeah.
Because Big Mosh doesn't give a fuck about the game.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying like he never plays the goddamn.
He never played a video game in his life. Maybe not in his life, but you know what I mean. He wasn't a gamer.
He wasn't a gamer, but he loved the rush of the game. Promotion.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it was. And yeah. He was very...
Let's be honest. He was all about just a free trip to Los Angeles and to the SummerSlam.
Exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, unfortunately, I haven't gone to any of those. But I did go to Hell in the Cell last year? No.
Okay.
Or was it... not last year, but the year before. I went to Hell in the Cell out here. And I did go to ECW's November to Remember 1999.
Yep, I was there. I was at that one.
I was there.
Yeah.
And I've attended a number of Raws and Nitros and Thunders in the past. I never did a Nitro, but I did a Thunder.
You never did a Nitro?
No, wow. I didn't. No, because I think it was like Raw was in like Toronto, and I think it was like one of those things where I would only go to a certain event. Like, I didn't make it. I didn't go to everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if it was in Toronto, like, I wasn't that dedicated to go to see WrestleMania in Toronto, mm-hmm. even though I probably should have been.
I went to that WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Not 6, but I went to 18, or X8, as it was called back then.
Yeah, like, that was the one everybody went to. And then
Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. So, like, how could you go to a WrestleMania now after going to that one? Like, they just don't compare.
No.
Yeah, they really... And you look at that WrestleMania X8 card, that was a stacked card from top to bottom. I'm sorry, I can't sit through Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins after sitting through Hulk versus The Rock. So
yeah,
I just don't see the point of spending the money.
It's already peaked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I haven't, been to a live thing since, when was the last one I went to? Maybe it was the Hell in the Cell.
I've never gone to a WWE event in California.
Get out. Really?
Yeah. I've never gone to
You've never been to the Staples Center?
No. Well, and WrestleMania was at the Staples Center when I first moved out here.
Fuck, see,
and the Big Mosh went to that. I met up with him the night before.
Yeah.
And no, I didn't go. I've been to a Raw in Buffalo after I moved out here. Like, I was in Buffalo and Raw was going on. I was like, okay, I'll go to that. But other than that, no, I haven't gone to a WWE event.
I went to a Raw in Anaheim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when I was like, when actually that was the one I got to go to for free when I was an intern at the WWE in the movie studios.
Oh.
And yeah, that was the one I got hooked up with.
Where were your seats for that?
Oh, they were somewhere in those stands.
Oh.
They weren't good.
They didn't give you good seats.
They weren't great.
Oh.
You know, they were okay.
Yeah.
But they weren't great. Mm. You know, and that's the thing. I remember I did use that to hook up my connection there to hook up my brother to go see Armageddon in Buffalo that year. I think it was 2008. But I did not go.
Did you go to Fully Loaded when it was in Buffalo?
No, I didn't. No, oh. I think no, because you know why? Because I think like there was like a ECW. I went to a bunch of the ECW things.
Yeah.
I made a point to go to a lot of those. Maybe from like 97 to 98, I definitely went to those. Maybe some in 99. And then definitely, I took some time off there, and then I went to the one in the November to Remember. So,
oh, yeah, back then, like wrestling in Buffalo, it was like you'd have WCW, WWE, and ECW. They'd come, and they'd always come around the same time a year.
Yeah,
and they'd come like ECW ran a lot in Buffalo. I'd say like maybe every couple months.
It was like every quarter.
Yeah, every quarter.
WWE was
maybe every 6 months WWE and WCW. But when they'd come like all together at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be like a couple weeks apart. So.
Be very overwhelming.
Yeah,
because that's the thing, because you can't really, you know, because it's one of those things where when you get older. You know, when you begin, when you get on your own, and when you're in your teenage years or you're in your early 20s, and like, you know, the way I saw those years, I was like, well, I should probably be like figuring my shit out. And then I'd be like, but I want to see all this wrestling. And people would be like, why are you going to see all this wrestling? You got to figure your shit out. And I'm like, you know, I found a way to do some stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the ballpark brawls and the Bisons, like those are stories for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But we will not talk about any of those shows this week.
What we are going to talk about is an issue of Wrestling Eye from, was it the fall of 86? October 86.
October 1986.
So it was a monthly magazine.
Yeah.
And they have their Wrestling Eyes forecast for 1987.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. So let's actually take a break, and we'll come back and we'll get into this book. It's going to be, it's not your usual wrestling fare, so stick around.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror, Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back here on I Could Talk Kayfabe. So Wrestling Eye, and it's got on the cover, it's got Hulk Hogan in a white shirt, the American Made shirt, which is an underrated shirt. I love that shirt.
Yeah, he didn't really... Hulk Hogan in anything but yellow and red is... It's always like kind of neat to see.
Yeah.
Because you always kind of felt you're watching something that wasn't... You know, it was very unique.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's in the white gear this time. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever come across an indie manager in Buffalo named Kenny Casanova?
I know of his name. Okay. Wasn't he this guy in?
I don't think we ever booked him in Buffalo. And
I'm thinking about Kenny Bolin. Yeah. No, but I feel like I've heard the name. But so, then again, that sounds like a very.
I've met him once or twice. He's a good guy. I'm friends with him on Facebook. But Kenny Casanova actually was at a house show and caught the white shirt.
Hot shit.
Yeah, and he has it framed in his. He's got this amazing wrestling collection room in his house. I think he lives in Syracuse or Schenectady, somewhere upstate.
Nice.
But and it's framed. And what he said was. He memorized where Hulk would throw his shirts just by watching him on TV. And when the show came, when Hulk came to the ring, he ran to the spot where Hulk would always throw the shirts. And sure enough, Hulk threw the shirt and he caught the shirt.
Man.
So
that's,
and he was like in the nosebleeds and he ran down to catch the shirt.
Can you imagine? I'm just imagining how many kids are getting trampled. You know, how many, I mean, he's fighting, because you got to fight for that.
Yeah, because I don't think he was older than, like, a kid. Like, I don't think, maybe 12 at the oldest.
So. I know, but that's old enough to push aside a child.
Oh, yeah, sure it is.
That's old enough to get aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, and rush yourself down there and get yourself out of there before the parents be like, what the fuck did you do to a kid?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of, yeah, you got to be careful.
So he's got the ripped American-made shirt from Hulk Hogan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't, and that's the thing, because it's not, either see Hogan would either wrestle in the white or the blue.
Yeah,
the blue is another rarity from him. Did he ever wrestle in red? Like he wrestled in red in the AWA, but he never wrestled. Did he ever wrestle in red in WWF?
No,
I don't think he did.
So
yeah,
I mean he had the red T-shirt, but
we had the red T-shirt, but he had the red trunk. Like the red trunks were, you know.
Yeah, and I don't remember red trunks in WWF.
Never red trunks. But I feel like they made a doll with red trunks.
Yeah, I think they did.
They made an American-made doll.
Yeah,
but he had red trunks.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm a big fan of wrestling variants.
Yeah,
you know, like that's kind of like one of the things I love having. The option to do in like the wrestling games,
and sometimes. That's another thing. Like wrestlers today, they'll change up their trunks every couple of months just so they can hand another action figure of themselves made.
Yeah,
and make more money.
No, that makes sense. I mean, well, some guys like they don't really have gear like that. Like it's like a guy like Enzo Amore just has like random things that he wears, and then you know whatever.
Yeah,
and, you know, I mean, but some other guys like your Dolph Ziggler. You know, like he switched from, you know, short trunks to long tights, and then, you know, he has different variations on that. And, you know, and then like Roman Reigns has, you know, like he'll change it up. You know, he has different colors now.
He has colors on his bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We figured they could do that. So, so I guess, but I'm always a fan of that. I'm always a fan of seeing that, especially for the older wrestlers.
Yeah. So, like this one has Hulk Hogan in his white. He's got white. Boots, he's got white knee pads, white trunks, and the white shirt, but the red and yellow Hulkamania headband.
Yeah, yeah, he's holding the... I'm almost positive this is the right cover, because it has to be, because I couldn't... We don't have the cover to this magazine.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, the cover's missing.
The cover is missing.
Yeah.
But, and so really just, maybe just like, let's... I'm just going to talk real quick about Wrestling Eye in general.
Yeah.
So Wrestling Eye is not like the other wrestling magazines that we probably be talking...
The majority
of this program.
Yeah.
Because they're not your typical after magazines.
No.
You know, they're not Victory Sports. You know, your Pro Wrestling Illustrated, your Sports Review Wrestling, your wrestling superstars, wrestler, whatever.
Inside wrestling.
Inside wrestling. It's not all that stuff. These are the ones that would be produced, you know, by like small, and there's a small smattering of these, but you know, you could find them, and those are the ones, you know, and they're always fun to find, that they're, you know, produced and distributed by like smaller presses, and like usually by like one guy
mm-hmm.
who just happens to have the resources to do this. I think that Wrestling Eye was produced by, or you know, created and distributed by this guy named Mike Ballou, because he's all over this magazine.
Yeah.
But I mean, they have a staff. They got people here handling, you know, all the good, you know, the jobs and all that.
They have an executive staff too.
Yeah, they have an executive editorial staff and a
vice president.
Stanley Weinberg, who's that?
I don't know. He must be their lawyer or their accountant.
Well, it's Gems Inc. is the Gems Inc. is the distributor.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never heard of Gems Inc. I'm assuming this is 1986, so it's probably no longer a thing. But yeah, so maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. I should probably do some research.
You probably should have looked it up before we started talking.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Because I could talk kayfabe.
Yeah, so I can't talk publishing.
I can't talk publishing. I can talk kayfabe.
Yeah.
But Wrestling Guy, nonetheless, I am excited that we have this. And they have an issue that I must read that I sent you a picture of, Joe.
Yeah.
Where this Beef Peak on the cover. On the top it says, fan violence, are you to blame? And I'm like, I need to know where this is coming from. Because there is some, there's got to be like, yeah, like, because who's fighting who? I mean, this is, you know, in the era kayfabe, like, who the fuck's fighting a wrestler?
So I look at it as like, okay, they must have
everybody probably is, but anyways.
Must be based out of the Northeast.
It is.
And where Philadelphia, where the fans just beat each other up, and that's probably where they were, like, going at.
Yeah, I think it was full-on, like, anarchy.
Yeah.
And this time when you could go to an indie wrestling show and get into a fight with David Schultz. You know. And David Schultz will fight you.
Yeah, he would.
David Schultz will fight you. David Schultz will fight you right now.
He probably would fight you now. I don't think he'd do very well against a lot of people now. But
I don't know. I think he probably still could. I think he probably would use something with glass on it. Mm-hmm. He probably would use, because David Schultz does not fuck around. And he is actually one of the subjects of this book. So, so the cover's got Hulk Hogan with his white outfit, and then we have some headlines. Wrestling Eye's forecast for 1987.
Yes, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in It's already 2017.
Yeah, fuck that.
So, 1987 is 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
What was going to happen 30 years ago? God, I want to know.
Hogan versus Orndorff, but is this Hogan versus Orndorff? Question mark,
yeah.
And this is like 86. I don't know when this went to press.
Yeah.
Because it says November 1986, but I feel like that means it had gone to a press like a couple months ahead of time. Because the way that like pro wrestling magazines, like this one, this other one we have here, was from June 1985 and then went to press like around like in like late March or mid March. So, you know, you're looking at a couple months ahead of time. So maybe I don't think the turn happened yet. So is that why this? And also, I feel like that's missing in here, because there's not a story in here
about no there isn't. Maybe it's in the Hulkamania section or the upcoming forecast for the WWF 1987.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay, forecasts are like Hulk versus Orndorff.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that was a thing that happened.
It definitely happened. And I still don't understand what Orndorff's beef was. I mean, they won the match. Come on, Orndorff, what was your problem back then?
Because he just felt he was getting overshadowed.
He was overshadowed. He wasn't Hulk Hogan. He was Paul Orndorff. Just be happy to be Hulk Hogan's teammate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's extremely vain, and he was always vain.
Yeah.
If you watch any of the, there's that one thing from, I think it was like 84, 85, when it was TNT, where he goes and gets like, you know, like a manicure and his hair done and, you know, and he goes to the gym, and he's just, you know, I mean, he's a very particular man, and, you know, and you can tell why he wasn't a solid choice to be a hanging and banging with the Hulkster.
Yeah.
Hulk probably should have known better. I'll give Orndorff the benefit of the doubt here. you know, and being a, you know, he's a heel.
If you ever watch or if you have ever read Hulk Hogan's biographies, the first one he wrote, he talked about his feud with Orndorff and talked about how they both went to like rival high schools. So it was
They're both in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a feud, like going back to those rival high school days. And I guess Orndorff was a few years older than him. So
So they had some tentative relation. They had a very tentative. I'm sorry. It's got to move this here.
Yeah.
A very tentative. Hang on. Sorry. That's what I got, because I got to open this book and I don't want the cord. It's gonna make all this noise. Fuck. Okay. Also on this cover is, this is actually my favorite headline, is Jesse the Body Ventura missing?
Yeah, where did he go?
I don't know. What happened? What happened to Jesse?
You can ask that question now and it'd be a lot more accurate because he spends half the year in Mexico.
Yeah,
off the grid.
So, I'm off the grid.
Yeah.
I'm off the grid, but I'm posting on Facebook every day, Monsoon. I'm posting on Facebook on www.facebook.com/truth/Ventura/Hogan is a liar. Whatever.
I don't have a Facebook account, but I'm always posting on the Facebook.
If you know what I mean, Monsoon, I'm using the Facebook, but I'm not using the actual my face. I'm using the book. I'm writing in a book. I'm writing in a book, and I'm putting it on a computer, and I'm thinking that the computer words leaking to the computer.
He's on that YouTube channel, that RTU America channel now, with like Ed Schultz and Larry King. They started their own YouTube channel, the three of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's good to know.
He's just like a contributor. Ed Schultz is like the main anchor. And the other two, Larry King and Jesse Ventura, they just chime in every now and then.
Yeah. Now, Jesse pops up on stuff. He had a podcast for like a minute, too. And it was like on the Corolla Network. And he just he stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Because he was probably...
Because he's off the grid.
He's off the grid.
You can't have a podcast on the Corolla Network if you're off the grid.
I'm putting it up on Ghost Tunes, which is Garth Brooks' iTunes, because Garth Brooks doesn't believe in iTunes.
Garth Brooks is off the grid.
So, but we'll find out what happened to Jesse. And then we also have just Danny Spivey, Lex Luger.
Lex Luger misspelled.
Lugar, yeah. This is before people realized that they should all get together and just spell it correctly.
Yeah.
But this is like 1986, so I think he was spelling it with an A.
Yeah.
Lugar.
It's like the Mike Rotundo, Mike Rotunda.
Oh, nobody variation. Can. I don't think anybody has figured that out yet. Even NWA, who he wrestled for years, couldn't figure it out. Yeah. Like, they would occasionally be like, Rotundo, Captain Mike. Oh, fuck, I'll just call him Captain Mike.
Yeah.
And then we got Florida Action and full color pinups of the fabulous ones, Tony Atlas, Lady Maxine. Billy Superstar Graham.
Yeah. Lady Maxine was kind of an interesting pinup. I didn't really remember her, so
it nobody was really did, because she was only in the WWF for like a second.
Yeah, like a couple of matches. I looked her up on Wikipedia. She had a little more of an impact in AWA, but not much.
No, yeah, I think she just probably... She flubbed at the wrong time.
Yeah.
I think because she was actually supposed... The word about her was that she... You probably read this on Wikipedia, is that she was supposed to be in the Rocket Wrestling cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was going to be, like, a big part of it, which, I mean, you know, shit, 1985. I mean, you need a foil, a character. Like, I'm certain that it would have made more sense for her to go up against Wendy Richter, you know, and kind of prolong the feud with her and Moolah. You know, obviously, you know, certain contractual situations happened, you know, to kind of change that course of history. But, you know, Lady Maxine, yeah, she had a chance. And she actually, I've seen the matches. Like, she does like a powerbomb, but it's like one of those things where you do a powerbomb in 1985 is not a powerbomb by any means.
Yeah.
Today or ever was, because it looks like the person taking it doesn't know what to do, and it looks very awkward. And, you know, she's 6 foot.
Yeah, something. She was like 6'6", according to, or maybe like 6'2", but still, she was over 6 feet tall. Yeah. China wasn't even 6 feet tall. So,
no.
Yeah.
No, they should induct Lady Maxine in the Hall of Fame. Let's get her in
there. I don't know about the Hall of Fame.
Let's get her in there.
Yeah. I think you have to have more than two matches to get in the... Well, I don't know. It's women's wrestling.
I don't know. Well, shit. Fucking the limo driver's in there. Vince McMahon Sr.'s limo driver
What?
James Dudley.
James Dudley?
Yeah, he was one of the first guys that they did back in 1993 or 4 or whatever. He was his limo driver.
Oh.
That's one of the reasons why people go, well, the Hall of Fame is just a bunch of bullshit, because you guys got guys like, you know, Coco Beware and Drew Carey and this guy.
I would not Coco Beware. Coco Beware had a good run.
No, Coco Beware did have a good run as a, not so much in the WWF, but I think just in general.
Yeah, in general. Yeah.
I will give him a lot of credit. I will stand up to that one. Drew Carey, fuck Drew Carey. I mean,
well, they have their celebrity wing, and Drew Carey entered the Royal Rumble, I guess.
Drew Carey said yes. That's what he said. Yeah, he said, I'll be in it. I mean, look, I love Drew Carey, you know, as a comedian, and I love the Drew Carey show, but I do not, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I mean, why am I even fighting? Why am I even arguing about it? It's fucking, okay, let's get into this magazine.
Is Bob Uecker in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like he has to be.
He should be.
He has to be.
Yeah.
I think he is. No, he is, because he showed up and I was like, oh, he's still alive. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, which, yeah, still kicking.
He's not in this magazine, though.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think he's still alive.
Okay.
Yeah, he still calls the Milwaukee Brewers games.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
All right. Bob Uecker had a good career.
Yeah.
Is it still having a good career? All right. Well, anyways, Wrestling Eye, October 1986. Main stories. We'll just jump into these main stories real quick.
We already talked about what's coming up for 1987.
Did we?
Well, we mentioned it already.
Wrestling 1980. Yeah. So Wrestling Eye 1980.
I'm just looking at your guideline there, but
well, let's just kind of go. Let's hop to it.
All right, let's hop to it.
Let's hop to it. So, they kind of schedule it out.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they kind of just put, like, the formatting in this magazine is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just have a bunch of random pictures. Like this picture of Hulk Hogan they have, I swear it's got to be.
It's like from 1977.
It's like the first picture of Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
He doesn't have the chest hair, but he's got the full head of hair. By 1987, he was already losing his hair, and he's got a full head of hair in this picture.
And the mustache isn't as bleached. Yeah. Because you can always kind of tell when, like, he had the darker blonde mustache. And it's like, and you can tell he's not. I don't think he's wearing like yellow tights.
Yeah, the photo's in black and white, but his tights look too dark to be yellow.
Probably blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably wearing. I mean, that could have been like 80. That could be like, that's like an AWA photo. Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're just like, you know, what's going to happen in 87? Well, Hulk Hogan. You know, they're expecting a lot of stuff going on with him and Macho Man, which they're a year off on that. But
yeah.
And just in the WWF in general. I do like that they, you know, they see a lot of people leaving, you know, particularly Tito and Mike Rotundo, which was true, Harley Race, Dandy Spivey, Bob Orton, which was true, and Jake the Snake. What else?
They talk about the British Bulldog. They talk about Dynamite Kid's injury. It's serious enough to force the team out of the WWF, which I don't know if it was because of Dynamite's injury, but that also happened because the Bulldogs weren't around much longer.
They were
there till 88.
Yeah, they were at the end of 88.
Yeah.
Because they were in the 88 Survivor Series.
Yeah.
That's when the whole shit that was stuff
like that. That was like their last appearance as the Bulldogs.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they're already kind of... And this is the thing about this magazine. This magazine, preemptively... They love Scott Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, because anytime they get a chance to talk about Scott Hall, 1987 Scott Hall was prime real estate for wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that he didn't have a much bigger career based on that.
Yeah, he was a hot commodity because he was like the AWA's lone shining star left after everyone bounced.
Yeah.
And he never made the jump to WWF like Kurt Hennig did or... whoever else.
Well, he's not at that time, you know. I mean, he basically, because basically Scott Hall went from like being really hot in like 87, you know, 86, 87 to like going away for like a year or two. And then he didn't really show up again until summer of 89 when he was in WCW as Gator Scott Hall.
Yeah.
And then he kind of still didn't do anything. Like he probably just, I think he just did like Japan and, whatever, and just had the mustache and the perm, and then he showed back up as a Diamond Stud, and that was pretty much it from then.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, but they, yeah, I mean, it's all, well, here's another outdated picture real quick, because they have like Jake Roberts, and they're,
and,
like,
and he's like in his karate pants.
He's in his karate pants from Georgia. They're like, he's not going to win the WWF title. Well, geez.
He's got short hair. Yeah. Well, shorter hair than what he was known for.
And then they got some AWA stuff, and they're like, Scott Hall is definitely going to win the AWA belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never happened.
But, Sergeant Slaughter will depart for Hollywood.
Almost happened. You could say that because he was doing that G.I. Joe at the time. So a lot of people might have thought, oh, maybe he's going to get more roles because he's doing G.I. Joe. That never really happened.
This is a weird line. Marty Jannetty, Brad Rankins, and John Barbour, the Barbarian Nord, will all go to the NWA. Oh, I thought I was reading it wrong before, because I was like, is that supposed to go to the AWA? I'm like, no, they're still here. And no, they all stuck around.
Yeah.
Oh, Blade Runners are coming in. No,
yeah, the Blade Runners.
No, Blade Runners aren't coming in.
Mm-mm.
No, they're
going to challenge Stan Lane and Steve Kern.
Yeah. A lot of love for...
Who, by the way... I've just started, like, I've always been aware of Stan Lane and Steve Kern. I even had their action figures. Mm.
You had the Remco stuff?
Yeah, I had the Remco figures of those guys.
Yeah.
But I'm just, like, getting into the Fabulous Ones, and they were pretty fabulous. I got to admit, like, I've turned into a Fabulous Ones mark over the last couple of weeks.
What are you watching?
I'm just watching clips on YouTube of them in Florida and stuff, and they were pretty awesome. Because I listen to Jim Cornette's podcast a lot, and he's always putting over Stan Lane. And I'm like, I got to get more into Stan Lane.
Stan Lane was pretty great. Well, Stan Lane in the Midnight Express, like, I'm watching a lot of NWA from, you know, the 87, 88, and... He, you know, him and Bobby Eaton are, you know, all over it, and, you know, and he's pretty great. I mean, he had a good moveset. You know, he's, you know, him and Bobby Eaton were just dope.
Yeah. Stan Lane should be a Hall of Famer.
Stan Lane was an announcer at WWF.
Yeah, for a couple of years.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
You should put it, well, the Midnight Express should just go in general.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get them in. If we're just putting in random people, get them in. You know, actually, they're in New Orleans next year, right?
For
the thing. Yeah, so, I mean, they were a big part of the Mid-South. You know, I mean, granted, though, if you do the Midnight Express, you kind of have to figure out how to get Cornette in there.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's keeping it. But
I think that, yeah, Cornette and them have whatever falling out, but I think they're a phone call away from, hey, Jimmy, you want to be in the Hall of Fame? Here's $500 and a
plane. $500.
And he would be all for it. Cause like Jim Cornette does talk a lot of crap, but I think when it comes down to it, he would take the honor and he'd like it. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not talking kayfabe.
No, it's talking real life.
Yeah.
What we got here? There's a picture of the next page of Hulk Hogan meeting one of the guys from this magazine.
This guy from the magazine's like, he's got the shirt on. It's like two sizes too small. He's trying to make himself look big,
even though Hulk Hogan is gigantic.
Yeah.
It's always, I love seeing pictures of regular people standing next to wrestlers.
Yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan, it's like you don't, people. I mean, he's probably not as tall as he was. You know, back then.
I don't know. He's still pretty big.
But he's still gigantic. Yeah, that's like, the thing. Like Mick Foley is huge.
Yeah. Like that one time I met Hulk Hogan, I was just in awe. He's just huge. He's just larger than life.
Yeah.
He's just this big monster of a man.
No wonders he was the king of wrestling for so many years because Jesus Christ, he's literally, you know, built like he's made to rule that industry.
I mean, I don't consider myself a tiny person because I live in a Mexican neighborhood, so there's a lot of people smaller than me. Like, yeah. I'm ginormous compared to some of these people. But then, like, I'm only 5'8", 200-something pounds. You put me next to Hulk Hogan, and I look like a midget. Like,
yeah.
Hulk Hogan was just huge.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's got at least a couple, at least, like, 6 or 7 inches on me.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nick Bockwinkle, he's going to lose to Scott Hall. Oh, he's definitely losing Scott Hall.
Oh, he's going to lose to Scott Hall.
Yeah. You've got to think about Larry Zbyszko's future, which they spell Larry Zbyszko's name correctly.
Well, considering he was kind of a bigger name in the Northeast in the 70s. So
I know, but still, I mean, you'd figure like a magazine like this would just be like, whatever. Because, I mean, there's errors abound.
Yeah.
You figure you get at least one Zbyszko slip up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, did they spell his name right?
No, it's right. That's right.
Okay.
The Z's are in the right place. Yeah. No, it's a hard.
I was worried if the B and the Y were in the right
place. No, the B and the Y. The B is always right after. It's always ZBY.
Okay.
Zabisco. And then you got the Sizgo at the end.
Yeah.
Well,
there was a lot of Polish people in the Northeast, so they'll get that name spelled right.
NWA. Big news in NWA is that the Von Erichs are going to return.
Oh, look at that. Von Erichs.
Oh, no, that was actually very much farther from the truth. They did. They did their thing for a couple more years. Yeah. What else?
Kerry was around for another 5 years at least.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, as far as like NWA relations, stuff like that, like, they separated themselves, you know, in 86 from being, you know, NWA related. So, yeah. So, yeah, and then they think, I do like how they, like, they, the way that they talk about fan favorites and rule breakers in this magazine, they actually say good or bad.
Yeah.
Which is different, you know, which is kind of how. I would say it as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, you know, watching wrestling, my dad, you know, and if you talk to your, you know, he'd be like, whoa, what happened? Oh, Hulk Hogan, or Paul Orndorff turned bad.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's a good guy now, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. What else?
There they are, the fabulous ones. They're very fabulous.
Oh, yeah, those are some.
Wild trunks.
Wild trunks. Yeah, you know, just a bunch of random. They're like, yeah, the Koloffs are coming, the world class.
Oh, sure.
Because they're talking about there's going to be all sorts of. The way that they're talking about it here is like, you know, the NWA and the AWA and the world class are going to trade all sorts of stuff, trade all sorts of talent. And I'm like, well, you know, if they can, they can't describe. None of these the promoters can agree on anything. Yeah. So, I mean.
They can all agree on going out of business, which is what they eventually did.
Yeah.
Couldn't keep up with the times. Everyone thinks McMahon ran them out. No, they just couldn't keep up with the times.
No. No, yeah, they couldn't. I mean, there was other reasons, you know, behind it, you know, financial reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, UWF, I felt, probably had the best shot if it wasn't for, you know, Watts losing all of his money.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and the divorce, yeah.
Yeah, and the divorce and with the oil.
Which is what I'm hoping happens with the Pakulas. I'm hoping they just, like, there's a big messy divorce, and then, like, the wife gets control of the teams, and then but she's forced to sell them, and then, like, somebody like Donald Trump will finish his presidency and then buy the Bills and make them great.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping happens.
So Jesse Ventura missing in action.
Where is Jesse Ventura?
He's right there.
There's a few photos.
He's very much documented, and just a lot of photos of Jesse laying on the ground.
So basically, what happened was Jesse like took time off to go film Predator.
Yeah,
and they thought maybe he was just going to leave wrestling altogether and make more movies, which he did make more movies, but he never left. He was just an announcer by this time anyway.
Well, he was already stopped wrestling he stopped wrestling. I think he did, like, the one match on Saturday night's main event. Like, he did an occasional six-man. But by that time, like, he was already out wrestling because of the blood clots he had in his lungs, and he just stopped wrestling altogether. I don't think he literally just never came back.
Which is kind of weird, but, like, now, like, if you get a blood clot in your lung as a professional wrestler, you would take time off, but I don't think it's something you'd retire from anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but maybe he figured it's like, I could, you know, he had other opportunities. I mean, you know, and, you know, because probably by this time he was already on, you know, doing movies, you know, and he was already, you know, doing Predator and then The Running Man, you know, and then, you know, eventually he's doing, you know, shit like Abraxas, you know, so he's, you know, he's getting the, you know, getting it all figured out, and then he could do politics, and, you know, he apparently he was only 33 at this time.
No, I think it was older than that, wasn't it?
It's got, I'm going to assume he was, I don't know. Let's see.
Maybe that was his kayfabe age.
That's his kayfabe. That's a he's talking kayfabe. He's talking kayfabe.
Oh yeah, at 33, Jesse Ventura has done it all. Wow.
I don't know, but I mean, I'm like,
you know what? 1986, 33. That would mean 1953 he was born, so I guess that sounds about right. I thought he was probably born a few years earlier than that, but I could be wrong.
If he was born in 53, that was around when my dad was born, and my dad turned 40 in 1982.
But that's awfully young to be serving in Vietnam. If you're born in 53, he would have been way too young to serve in Vietnam.
Well, in 1986, If you go back 20 years, he would have been 13?
Yeah, that's way too young to serve in Vietnam.
And that would have been...
No, there's no way Jesse Ventura was only 33 in 86.
Don't kayfabe me, Jesse.
He's kayfabing you.
So, yeah, but that's basically... And he's also recording music.
Yeah.
Which... So he did the Body Rules, I think that's the name of the song, on the first wrestling album. But apparently he also covers... Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
And something else. I do like this quote here, and I wonder if this is like kind of how they wrote this story here, but they had to get quotes for him. But these are actually pretty, these feel like quotes he would actually say. Because so it goes, after Nam, Jesse returned to his hometown of Minneapolis. He played football in junior college and couldn't relate to the wet behind the ears attitude of the rest of the student body. I had played the ultimate game. Quote, I had played the ultimate game, war. Jesse Ventura, which I'm just imagining him playing cards. It's like, played war, guys.
So he was born in 51 on his Wikipedia page. So he was like 35 when this came out.
No, okay, so if he was born in 51, he would have been 20 in 1971.
Yeah.
So 18 in Vietnam, 68.
Yeah. So that makes more sense.
60 or 17, so he probably, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense.
It checks out, Jesse, don't worry.
Yeah, it checks out.
Don't worry, Jesse.
Yeah, because at 33, you would have been too young, but at 35, yeah, you would have just made it, to Vietnam.
Yeah, regardless of 33 or 35, that's a hard 35.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was watching. I've been watching a lot of Unsolved Mysteries because they just came out on Prime.
Yeah, I'm 36, and he looks like a good 10 years older than me.
That's the thing. Like these, in the 80s, a 35 was always a hard 35.
Yeah.
Like you looked like you had been, you were 45 or 50. Like you were old as fuck.
Yeah. He's just got like no hair, and just like the hair that he does have is like long and stringy and... Yeah, no, he's just, people aged really weird back in the 80s.
Yeah. So he basically is like, I'm doing rock and I'm making it my own and it's legit rock and roll. I'm like, all right, I gotta see if that's out. Because apparently it is out.
Yeah.
He did actually release it. So I'll have to see. I have to hear him do Sympathy for the Devil.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. Yeah, that's got to be a pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of good Jesse jokes to insert in there.
So we got the underrated stars of the WWF and a big photo of Bobby Heenan underneath it.
which I think that shows me that this is not a very poorly, this is a poorly thought out article.
Yeah.
Because if you can't think of underrated stars, then you can literally, the first person you show is Bobby Heenan, who was not a wrestler.
Yeah. He was probably the number one manager in the company at the time. Like, if you want to put, like, Hercules Hernandez there, I could see you making
Hercules gets his own thing.
Yeah, or Ted Arcidi or somebody like that. Like, oh, this guy. Okay, I can see your point.
Well, 86, I mean, shit, you had Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You had, you know, yeah, I mean, you had your Hercules. I mean, they're talking about Ricky Steamboat here, mm-hmm. which, I mean, okay. I mean, at this time, he didn't reach, you know, this is right before, you know, he reached the heights of the Intercontinental title in WrestleMania 3. So, yeah, I can understand that. But Bobby Heenan, come on. You know, so we get a lot of that. Greg Valentine.
Yeah, they got the Dream Team on the back.
Only three stars. Three stars, that's it.
Wow.
That's all they go to. They're like, well, and then the Greg Valentine's like, he'd be better off if he went to the NWA, which we talked about. I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
He should have been there. He probably would have made more sense to go back there at this time, and he would have probably had a better career overall. But, you know, he'd probably make more money in WWF because you make all the money from the dolls and the licensing and the, you know, wrestling albums.
Yeah.
So, next article, is AWA up for sale? Yes.
Well, I don't know if it was ended up being sold, but it definitely was struggling. They're kind of like talking about the AWA, how like we would talk about TNA nowadays.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, is it going to be around much longer? Are they going to find somebody to come in and buy them out? Because like in 1987, forget it, like all the big stars had left the AWA. They're gone.
Yeah. All they had left, well, 1988, you know, at this time, it was like Jimmy Garvin was, I guess, still there, but he was pretty much already headed towards NWA at this time. Yeah. This is supposed to be like really old. Like the way that when they write these articles, like it's supposed to be like, you know, it says October, but like it's not actually talking about anything that happened like until like at least 6 or 7 months back then.
Yeah. It says in the caption that he had already left.
Oh, okay. Wait, you're okay. Yeah, I probably should have read that.
Jim Brunzell was in there and he already left
too. Okay, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do I know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, except for Scott Hall was still the toast at the time. Like, he's the only man that can rekindle fan interest. I'm like, well, you know, if they would have committed to him, he probably would have been awesome.
Yeah, probably.
He probably could have had, you know.
So in '87, you had who's Nick Bockwinkel was the champ.
Nick Bockwinkel was the champ, yeah.
So who did he drop the title to, and then Larry Zbysko ended up winning it?
He dropped the title to Curt Hennig.
Was it Curt Hennig?
Yeah. Okay. And Curt Hennig dropped it to Jerry Lawler.
Oh.
Because the whole because the whole thing about Curt Hennig getting the title was kind of he was going to jump to the WWF at that point, and they gave him the title, and then he still ended up jumping to the WWF.
Yeah.
So, but they gave him the title anyways, just as a last ditch thing, and then you know it didn't really do what they were hoping with it, and you know. But
then he dropped it to Jerry Lawler, but then the AWA didn't recognize Lawler as the champ after a while. Is that
Because he was there was a bunch of money shit.
Yeah,
going
I'm
on.
Trying to figure out how Larry Zbysko ended up with the title.
They stripped Lawler of it, and they put it in the Battle Royal. Okay, and Larry Zbysko won the title, won it from there.
Yeah.
And then that's how they did it.
Is if you watched USWA well into the 90s like I did, they still referred to their championship as the Unified World Heavyweight title, which was the AWA and the World Class title unified, even though both organizations stopped recognizing that title.
No, it just sounds better.
Yeah.
I mean, I would. You know, it's like the whole World Wrestling Council calling their title the Universal title because the universe is bigger than the world.
Yeah.
But here's to buy the AWA, the facts that are as they are known. The AWA is up for sale. The asking price is $3 million.
Oh.
I do like that they give $3 million and they also give the cents. Because if like, you know, it was like $3 million and 1 cent. You know, it's like, you know, Vince, you're one penny short. God damn it. What's in my pants right now?
It was me, Austin.
I didn't have a penny all along. I used it in a machine to make a keepsake at Niagara Falls. Would you like this, Vern Ronya?
Oh, those penny things?
Yeah, he made a smooshed penny. He was like, this is like, here, you want this? It is being offered to Titan Sports. Okay. One of the conditions is that the buyer is that Greg Gagne must work in the front office.
Well, I think Vince was known to do that because he always bought out his dad, and Gorilla Monsoon was a partner, and he put him in the front office.
Yeah, he had to work out a job for.
Then he did the same with Toronto, and he put Jack Tunney in the office.
Mm-hmm.
He made him the kayfabe president of the company.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
You kids out there don't know what it was like to have Jack Tunney as your president.
Yeah. The thing with Jack Tunney was he only showed up on screen like when shit was going down. Like,
it was real bad.
Yeah. Like you never really saw him. Like maybe once in a while.
Like he didn't care about the undercard.
No, that's for sure.
He only cared about the world title too. Like he literally I think anything to do with like the tag titles or the Intercontinental belt, he'd never.
Well, he did suspend Ravishing Rick Rude for making fun of the Big Boss Man's mother.
Oh, that's right. And then he also did. Was he also responsible for? He obviously was responsible for all the. Well, no, you're right. I should take this back because was also responsible for firing Danny Davis.
Yeah.
And then all that.
He gave him a lifetime plus 10 years suspension.
So even in his grave, he can't be. If you want to be a zombie wrestling referee and he came back 5 years after he died, he could not do it.
And he also banned reptiles from the ring, preventing Jake Roberts from bringing the snake after the cobra bit Randy Savage.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why, like, towards the end, Jake didn't have the snake with him anymore.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know he just stopped bringing the snake.
No, yeah. Jack Tunney banned reptiles from the ring. Because he made the big thing on the Survivor Series. He made the big announcement that he was reinstating the Macho Man and that reptiles were banned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, you're watching wrestling more than me.
But is the AWA for sale? That's the question.
Nah,
for $3 million, and you have to have Greg Gagne.
Yeah, you got to Greg Gagne, and then, you know, they ask a lot of questions about what happens with the ESPN deal. I'm like, well, that's another.
And what happens with rock and roll Buck Zumoff? Oh,
fuck Buck Zumoff.
Is Buck Zumoff worth $3 million?
Buck Zumoff ain't worth shit. He's a piece of garbage. And if you follow wrestling news, you know why. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, because that wouldn't be talking kayfabe.
No, that's real life.
Kayfabe-wise, Buck Zumoff was a good time. He was a lot of fun.
I guess. Just a
skinny guy with a boom box.
just a gnarly looking dude.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, here's something that actually I found, and that maybe this is true, and I can't remember. I don't know if it is or not. But it says 2 years before Mr. T appeared in WrestleMania, reportedly he was reportedly offered to wrestle for the AWA. Being from Chicago, Mr. T grew up watching the AWA stars. He wanted to wrestle with Tony Atlas as a tag team, which would have been good for the urban areas. But Vern Gagne told Mr. T's agent that wrestling and TV stars don't mix. How wrong he was. Which, again, goes back to your point that the reason why the territories didn't survive primarily is mm-hmm. because they didn't have the foresight to see things like that.
Yeah. But, like, McMahon's were... I can't say they were late to getting the party, but Vince McMahon Sr. was old school like that as well, because, you know, Andy Kaufman approached him first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he approached... And then McMahon turned him
down.
Well,
McMahon fired Hulk Hogan for being in Thunderlips.
Yeah.
For being Thunderlips.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, eventually, obviously, it worked out for them, but...
So I get Vern Gagne and Vince McMahon Sr. were just cut from the same cloth.
Pretty
and
much.
Junior was the only one who had the foresight to see the future.
Yeah, praise Vince.
Yeah. Yeah,
he did all right. So another story here: the Mod Squad, JD Costello's dynasty.
Who are the Mod Squad? Because you've created them in WWE 2K, so you know more about them than I do.
Well,
so.
Dude, the Mod Squad are simply just Mac and what's his name, Mac Jeffers, and what's the other guy's name? Something Jeffers.
Well, they're
Jim Jeffers, or they're so they were just in real life. That's what their names were, and they were just jobbers for the NWA, and then they basically got repackaged
mm-hmm.
as like the mod squad, where they just show up wearing, like, you know, leather jackets and bike helmets, and they would just wrestle as a team, and they, you know, they look like, you know, evil cops or something. Like, they look like the Masters of Disaster is actually kind of what that stands for.
They're wrestling Jerry Lawler and Dutch Mantel in this photo.
Yeah, so basically the story is about the Mod Squad was primarily in the NWA, and I've watched the same, watched some WCW 1987 stuff, so I'm like, oh, I'll make them as jobbers or whatever, because I can make it accurately in the game. So and they probably did like a talent exchange and probably went down to Memphis and, you know, fucked around there to get some experience. And here it's talking about their manager, JD Costello, who I did a little bit of research on him. He basically was only around for like 1986, and he's basically like the one guy. It's kind of like, it's a very like indie wrestling manager kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, when you would read, like, some of these magazines, like Wrestling Eye, and they'd be like, check out this awesome manager. And I'm like, who is this guy? I've never heard of this guy, and he never appeared anywhere else. Like, he's the Mortimer Plumtree. If you remember Mortimer Plumtree?
I remember reading his name in the mags, but that's about it.
That's basically, he's like that. Like, he's like the guy. He's like if basically, you had a wrestling event and your buddy wanted to be a manager, but he didn't want to wrestle. And you put on a hat because he's dressed like, you know, like Jimmy Hart. Kind of with like the hat and the loud jacket. Well, not a hat, but like he's got the loud jacket and all that stuff. And he's one of those. He does the Jim Cornette gimmick where he's got lots of money, and he can pay, you know, for all these things for people. You know, and that's basically it. So yeah, he's pretty lame. It's pretty lame.
They did like a whole 3-page spread on these.
But it gets 3-page spread. I mean, they went off their way. The thing about Wrestling Eye is that you get this kind of coverage.
Yeah.
You get the act. You get really good coverage about
the
Mod Squad and JD Costello, because those are the guys that those are the people that said, hey, come to our events. You can get good pictures of this.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not on the cover, to be honest. So yeah, and there's really not much else to say, you know, basically how this guy, you know, Costello and kayfabe is, you know, he's a wimp, And
it's a nice zebra skin suit in this picture on the
end. He's got the ugly ass zoot suit with the hat. And the, I mean, he looks like, you know, like an 80s comedian.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that kind of gimmick.
Like a lounge act, a really bad lounge act.
Yeah, but he's got lots of money and he's going to take over these contracts. And, you know, and he's running wild in Memphis. And then he's only around for like a year. And like the Mod Squad probably wasn't even there for that long, too. So,
but they have a 3-page spread in Wrestling Eye. So you've
made it.
They've lived. Their mark has been set here. Yeah.
I do want to talk real quick here about this article. It says two tag teams upset. And not because they're mad. Well, they are probably mad, but they lost their titles, right? But this is my favorite, is that so Kurt Hennig and Scott Hall lost their titles to Buddy Rose and Duck Summers.
Yeah.
And they're like, new AWA Tag Team Champions, Buddy Rose and Doug Summers. It's not, though, because it says previously they held the All-South Tag Team titles. Well, clearly it's Doug Summers and Randy Rose.
Yeah.
Like that, because Buddy Rose is looks very, you know what Buddy Rose looks like.
Yeah.
And that is not Buddy Rose.
Well, no, that could be Buddy Rose.
No, that's Doug Summers because it says Pretty Boy on his tights.
Oh, yeah, because it's Playboy Buddy Rose, not Pretty Boy.
Yeah, yeah. And that is not Playboy, yeah. But that is Ravishing Randy, yeah. Randy.
I'm looking at Rose. It upside down, so it's hard for me to tell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I made him in my game too.
Oh okay.
I figured I'm gonna have him get beat up. The new Hulk Hogan, is it Danny Spivey? They love Danny Spivey in the 80s. Danny Spivey is underappreciated too. He's had some good matches.
He was one of those guys that like he had the look. He just never did it like. He was in the Skyscrapers. That was like the highlight of his. Well, he became Waylon Mercy.
I think he's one of those guys who like he had some success in Japan, but he's also one of those guys who like didn't really. How would you say it? He didn't really have enough. Maybe like wasn't motivated enough to be like a big name.
That you might be right because like they gave him in those mid-90s that Waylon Mercy push. And they were pushing him pretty good. He had upper mid card. Then he had a match with Diesel, and he beat Diesel. And then he retired. He's like, I'm done.
Because he got injured.
Yeah. But then he never came back though.
But I mean, he could have been like a much bigger deal. Yeah. In NWA, and like I'm just reading about some like the old stories about him in NWA. It's you know, he was not very easy to work with at some points, but yeah, and he just kind of talks about, you know, they're like Hulk Hogan. He could be like his brother, right? You know, because they had blonde hair and they had the same kind of weird head that, you know, with the mop top, you know, that my brother had when he was a kid. So
if I could break kayfabe for a second, I think both of them bleached their hair.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
You think Hulk bleached?
Yeah.
Well, Hulk, okay. Hulk maybe did. I don't know. I feel like Spivey was a natural. I think he colored it for Mercy.
Oh.
And he's just kind of.
Oh, I think he dyed his hair for Mercy too, but yeah. So we got the, this is just a random photo of after the three count, and they just have a random photo of Greg Valentine. But like that's it. There's no article about him. It's just like after the three count.
Which it's not even after the three count. It's just a picture of him like with his robot.
By Gene Gordon, and then it's a photo of Greg Valentine, and there's no article.
This is a photo from like 1982.
Yeah, this is an old photo of Greg Valentine. He's got shorter hair. He looks very young. He looks like 30 at the oldest.
Yeah, it's just random. Lex Luger, superstar on the rise. Yeah, Lex Luger was he looked like a young Chris. He looked like Chris Benoit at this time, actually.
So they do a nice 3-page spread on Lex Luger.
As you should for Lex Luger in 86. You know, they're basically talking. But it's weird that you could tell this is something that was written not with his input, because they're like, it's like, hey, maybe you can like you could be the new Hulk Hogan, you should wrestle Hulk Hogan. And he's like, don't make me laugh, Hulk Hogan's finished. I'm like, well, you know, you might have to wait a couple of years, you know, 20 years for that.
Yeah
so they're all over Hulk Luger here, you know, talking about him running rampant in Texas and Florida, you know, beating up on Barry Windham and Jesse Barr. Let's see here.
Flip through our color photo spreads.
Yeah, we got some color photo spreads. Well, we'll get to the articles and some of these articles a little bit. We got Florida action.
Yeah.
This is a good time.
Wrestling at its boiling point.
Wrestling. But they don't. But there's no. It's not even abbreviated, though. I like that they put the ing at the end of it. Because when you do wrestling, either R-A-S-S-L-I-N or whatever.
Wrestling with a G.
Wrestling with a G.
And they have a photo of Oliver Humperdinck with a couple Japanese wrestlers.
But with Kendo Nagasaki, which they spelled wrong.
Yeah.
And the White Ninja, who's the Great Muta.
Yeah.
And because those were his charges at the time. We get some photo, not enough photos from Florida, because you got the fantastic.
And then you got like three photos of Oliver Humperdinck in this thing. It's like, how many photos of Oliver Humperdinck do I need?
Those are the best ones, because if you notice that some of these photos are very blurry, like there's actually, when we go back to, I'll talk about this real quickly. Like, there's a color photo in here of Jimmy Garvin versus Wahoo McDaniel, and you don't see Jimmy's face because he's got Wahoo in a sleeper, like a headlock or like a chin lock, and Wahoo is bleeding, but it's super blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't really. I mean, there's Nikita Koloff one too.
Yeah, that one's blurry.
It's blurry as shit. I mean, it's a great photo. It would have been great if it was in focus, but yeah. So yeah. So apparently, yeah, just not enough Florida wrestling. And I think that's it for the these deals here. These articles. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up talking about these columns in here in this mighty wrestling eye from October 1986. All right, we're back here on I Can Talk Kayfabe.
I Can Talk Kayfabe.
Yeah.
As we flip through the pages.
Actually, I did forget a few main articles. How could I forget? Because this is like a gigantic magazine.
It is pretty big.
All right, so we have an article about Hercules Hernandez. Hercules Hernandez, so this is right when he debuted in the WWF, a real threat to Hulkamania. And he did wrestle Hulk a few times. He did have a few matches, one on the Saturday Night's Main Event and stuff. And, you know, and this is super early in his WWF career, because you can see he's even wearing the gladiator outfit that he only wore that they made the action figure out of. You know, he's got Freddie Blassie with him. And the whole conceit of this article is they're like, well, Freddie Blassie knew how to, you know, knew Hulk Hogan's ins and outs, so he's gonna be the man to beat Hulk Hogan. And this is something here, maybe you can explain this here, but he says, let's see, Hulk Hogan's wrestling style hasn't changed much from the days when Freddie Blassie shouted encouragement from his corner. Blassie takes full credit for teaching Hulk Hogan the leg drop and the atomic knee drop.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen Hulk Hogan do a knee drop.
Neither have I.
So.
But Fred Blassie taught him it, so he must know how to do it. He just doesn't do it.
Oh, man. If he ever did it, can you imagine? Can you imagine the devastation where he's like, time to do the knee drop, brother? Maybe he should have did the knee drop. It would have been better on his back.
Maybe they just meant the atomic drop and they just misprinted it as the knee drop. Because like every wrestler was doing the atomic drop back then.
That wasn't really a Hulk Hogan signature. I mean, he did it, but I mean, you know, it was the big boot and the punches and the point.
I always like the spots where, like, if you're in a battle royal or a Royal Rumble and you do the atomic drop to eliminate the guy, like the force of your atomic drop makes him jump over the top rope. That was always my favorite spot.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, they need to do that. They need to bring that back.
Are they doing that tonight? Is that how Hacksaw's going to win the Rumble? Also, the other thing in here, this is just shitty research, I think. Hulk left Freddie when the manager was unable to get his wrestler another crack at Bob Backlund's WWF championship.
Okay. Did he ever get a crack at Bob Backlund?
Yeah, he wrestled Backlund in the 80s.
I know Backlund refused to put Hogan over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they've wrestled a handful of times when Hogan was a heel and stuff. Hogan felt he was just one more match away from wearing down the then title holder. Blassie may believe the same, but he wanted Nikita Koloff to get the next crack at Backlund.
Makes sense.
Well, I think they mixed up. It's supposed to be Ivan Koloff.
Oh,
I think
makes more sense because Ivan was actually there,
and Nikita wasn't actually wrestling then.
Yeah, Nikita was still like.
Now that I read this, and it's like, and it's funny because then they're like, well, people close to both men claim that Blassie believed that Koloff was easier to control than the independent Hulk Hogan. Blassie, yeah, but they keep referring to him as Nikita.
Yeah,
they keep referring. I'm like, just get fucking. Nobody proofread this magazine. Nobody did.
And then you got Dr. D. David Schultz.
Dr. D. David Schultz.
Covered in blood on the mic.
That's, I think, the only way that Dr. D. looks. Mm-hmm. You know, he's Dr. D., mean as they come. Which, yeah, basically, they go into it about the whole thing about how he took a swing at Mr. T. Mr. T. And he got fired for it. And he slapped around John Stossel. And, you know.
Yeah, and he talks about in the article how it's a double standard over there because Hulk Hogan put Richard Belzer down with the front face lock, and he didn't get fired. But
he Hogan straight up cracked his head open.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's gross. Have you ever seen the video?
Like, I've seen the video.
It's
yeah.
It's awful, and it's like from the '80s, so it's even worse because you know it's a hard you know everybody's like a hard age. You know, hard 33 Hogan.
And, my favorite part is afterwards when they come back from the break and they have the new host taking his place and Mr. T's explaining, Hulk Hogan's the world champion. He can't do that to the world champion. It's great.
Mr. T doesn't fuck around. I wish Mr. T had more to do with wrestling than just what he had to do with wrestling. I feel he would have been a much bigger asset.
Yeah, if he would have stuck around a few years later, yeah, like after WrestleMania 2, maybe gone into like WrestleMania 4 still as a guy.
Yeah. I mean, he had some things where he came back here and there, but... Yeah.
You know what they should have done was had him eventually team up with Piper.
Yeah.
That would have gone all full circle. Then him and Piper could have been a team, and that would have been a good way to turn Piper face.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, they talk about that, and he's in the EWA. So like, you know, you could tell this is
a wrestling. The EWA.
It's one of the indies in the indies. So we're back. You know, which I think EWA actually still existed up in like Providence and stuff like
okay.
that. Yeah. So it's like it's a Northeast thing,
mm-hmm.
and you know, because Cheetah Kid's in it, and like you
yeah.
know, or the zebra? Is it cheetah? Or is it the cheetah kid.
Yeah.
So that's actually Rocco Rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Johnny Rods. Johnny Rods is a you know you can tell this is a wrestling eye because they're talking about Northeast Indies as if it's like a bigger deal than it really is.
I remember Ivan the Impaler, our friend in Buffalo. He's like the wrestling guy in Buffalo. He told me like when he was a kid, Johnny Rods was like the big deal. Like he was a big Johnny Rods mark.
Well, so. He was on TV a lot because he was just yeah. basically like the jobber to the stars. But yeah. he was, you know, he was very, very good at it.
Yeah. So he was a Johnny Rods mark.
Fan club column written by Jim Ross. The Jim Ross?
You know what? I'm going to say yeah. Because I have no proof otherwise.
Hey, Jim Ross, did you write this? By God, I didn't. yeah. There's actually about an event coming up here of the Wrestling Fans International Association convention in Houston, Texas.
I want to be a part of that association.
I do too. Can I still be a part of this? Maybe I should look this up.
If not, we should bring it back.
August 6th to the 9th, we can still go. And there's going to have a ring event where you can learn how to wrestle. This will also provide people. We plan to have representatives from pro wrestling schools present to supply instruction if desired. This will also provide an opportunity for those who are interested to make their quote-unquote wrestling debut. And it is spelled traditionally wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N apostrophe. And then there's a card, which they don't say who's in it. And there's going to be a barbecue, which, okay, I'm into that. Video marathon. Bring your favorite VHS tape and enjoy sharing it with others on the big screen. So
interesting.
What could it be? Does it have to be wrestling?
Yeah. Could it be anything?
Could it be
just like taped commercials that you taped off the TV?
Could it be Commando starring Arnold Schwarzenegger? Because I would look. I'm like, hey, I brought Commando.
Yeah.
Could it be Debbie Does Dallas? You know, it could be anything. It's the 80s. All bets were off in the 80s.
It could be just like a bunch of episodes of Family Ties.
I got some Family Ties. We're going to watch some Florida wrestling.
Oh, sweet. I got Silver Spoons. We'll watch that next.
it's just like wrestling from Florida, Family Ties, the news, a test signal.
Then like Gummy Bears.
Yeah, I just let it run. The U.S. Farm Report. Exhibits. Oh, sorry. Membership meeting and awards banquet. Exhibits displays of much sought after wrestling memorabilia.
Oh,
Yeah, and an auction and raffle.
That reminds me. So I'm going to get off topic here. But I'm part of this Facebook group for, like, the Stampede Wrestling. Like, just people posting old Stampede photos. And, like, Smith Hart was posting, like, photos of, like, his dad's, like, wrestling trunks. He's like, oh, I wonder how much these are worth. And I commented, did you sniff them afterward? And everyone got all upset with me. I'm like, relax. I've met Smith a couple of times. We know each other. He knows I'm joking. Just relax.
And even if you didn't know him, who cares? Who cares? He's like, did you sniff him? To be honest, I would. I want to. It's Stu Hart's trunks. What did 1920 wrestling smell like?
Like he went. He actually because the Hart house was sold a few years back. So he actually went back to visit it. I guess they turned it into like a museum, the new owners of the house. Oh. So his dad's trunks are there.
Oh, I want to go. That sounds like fun. And then we have some fan clubs you can join. Some the Buck Zumhoff fan club. Also, Zoltan the Great fan club. Hey, look, a fan, Fabulous Ones fan club.
Oh, there you go. That's right up my alley.
That's just talking to you there, Joe.
Yeah. I'm in.
What else here? Okay, so Phantom of the Ring. This is basically like their Vic Venom kind of article here. You know, it's like here's some rumors, and basically they're talking about how So they have this thing about Andre possibly. It kind of led into how him turning heel, but they're like, well, maybe he's going to turn heel because Bobby the Brain Heenan is pressuring Jack Tunney to suspend Andre for not honoring his commitments against Bundy and Stud. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, well, he's going to come back and be mad because he's being blackmailed by Andre or by Heenan, so he's going to fight Hogan for the belt. And they have this picture of Andre like walking through the crowd, and it looks like he just got out of the oven. Because the contrast is really dark. I mean, he looks, and I mean, I've never have seen Andre that tan.
Yeah, he looks really tan.
He looks really tan and really aggravated and really tired.
Yeah,
you know, and he's got his fro. So I mean, it's from whenever.
By then, he was probably just like taking a step was probably just like a lot of pain for him.
But so. He looks like a hot dog. Yeah. It's really odd. And also, Bob Orton reporting here. Bob Orton was arrested again.
Oh, Bob, what are you doing?
Bob Orton apparently. So the story was he was in St. Louis, and he was charged with third degree assault and second degree property damage. He was riding in a cab when he overheard another cab driver call Bob a dirty name over the CB radio. Outraged, Bob Ace. Demanded the driver tell him the name of the other cabbie because Bob Orton was going to go and find this other guy and beat him up.
I challenge the validity of this story.
I do too. When the driver refused, Bob kicked the cab and assaulted him. The cab... the cabbie. I don't know. And then it also talks about Randy Orton... Randy Savage. Actually, I remember reading this about how... fans were heckling Elizabeth, and Macho Man swung at the group of fans and hit a 14-year-old girl by accident.
Oh, well.
I do remember reading that in Pro Wrestling Illustrated's, because he had to go back for a court on that. Uh-huh. And, like, somebody grabbed Elizabeth's hair, and he just, like, flipped out, mm-hmm. which I could see happening.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because Macho Man does not. Macho Man was, like, watching him now, and, like, you know, as an adult, he's, like, a legit. Terrifying person. Like,
yeah.
I always love it when, like, he'd be wrestling and, like, when he's a heel, like, he would just wrestle somebody and then, like, run out of the ring and just, like, go run at somebody, you know? Like, just get in somebody's face. It, like, he just points. I can't get enough of that. I wish more people did that. Just reacted like Macho Man did. Like, just being so high-strung because that's legit how he is. You know? How he was, apparently. And then we get some other... Scuttlebutt. One of my things here is the very last thing in this thing. It says Nick Bockwinkel has taken the AWA title from Stan Hansen under questionable tactics. Which, if I recall correctly, Stan Hansen was supposed to drop the title, and he didn't want to because he was loyal to Giant Baba, and he didn't show up for the event in Denver, and they just gave the title to Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah, I think
and
then, that's what happened.
And then Stan Hansen took the AWA. They told him to return the AWA title, and he said, fine. And he ran it over his truck and mailed it back to Vern because Stan Hansen was great. And I think that's it. We get a little photo spread here of AWA action. And these are some
independent
good
excitement. And then there's the Cheetah Kid.
There's a Cheetah Kid taking on Charlie Fulton. We got Hulk Hogan, the People's Champ. Don't tell The Rock. And then we got our ratings. Wrestling Guys ratings.
I don't know how they come up with their ratings.
Because they don't do it like Pro Wrestling Illustrated does. They do it. They just do it because of probably who they like that month.
Yeah. Because Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the Intercontinental Champion would automatically be the number one. But not in this one.
No. Jake Roberts is number one.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan's a champ, so he doesn't get ranked. But Jake Roberts is number one. And then
Savage is two.
Randy Savage is two. And then, you know, Hercules is up there. Paul Orndorff is up there. Hoss Funk.
Yeah.
Dory Funk in there. They just straight up call him Hoss Dory Funk because they're just like, fuck it, we're not going to call him Hoss.
Conspicuous by his absence, though, is Terry Funk. How could you have Hoss and not have Terry?
Also conspicuous is Greg Valentine.
Yeah.
And Junkyard Dog.
Well, Greg Valentine was teaming up with probably Dino Bravo by then.
No. He was a Beefcake.
Was he with Beefcake?
It was
still?
Beefcake, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably why he's not ranked. But Terry and Hoss, they were, I guess they were a tag team, but they also wrestled the singles, too.
But I don't remember Dory wrestling singles.
No, you're right.
Terry got title shots.
Yeah. Hoss and Terry were a tag team. Hoss left and they replaced him with that Jimmy Jack funk.
Yeah, Jesse Barr.
Yeah.
And he got his eye ripped out by Haku. That was around that time.
Magnificent Morocco, number 10.
Yeah. They don't do tag team ratings. They just tell you who the tag team champion is. So this time it was the Bulldogs. AWA, Scott Hall. So Nick Bockwinkel's a champ. Scott Hall is number one, of course.
Then you have Buck Zumoff coming in at number two.
No, that was
Boris Zukov. Upside down.
Boris Zukov and spelled wrong, too.
Yeah.
Bruiser.
Boris Zukov actually was a monster heel in that promotion.
He was. He got a lot of play going on.
Like, if you only know him from his WWF run where he was like one half of the Bolsheviks and then he was like pretty much a jobber the rest of the time. No, yeah. You got to go back and watch his AWA stuff.
Yeah, he was him and Soldad Unistoff.
Yeah.
Ustinov.
He was a big dude. Like, yeah, like he was very underrated, Boris Zukov.
Yeah,
he'd be like Rusev today if he was around.
I had a dream not too long ago. I don't know what triggered it, but that it was the Survivor Series, and Boris Zukov made a special appearance, and it was a really big deal. He was like a secret partner, and I was like, Boris Zukov is back. And I woke up and I told my wife, and I was like, Boris Zukov came back. It was really exciting. And I do have him in my game, actually. I do have a Boris Zukov.
You and I have some weird dreams, because this evening I was in bed with my girlfriend, and then I woke up. My dream was I went to the bathroom and somebody had stolen her toilet in the night.
Oh.
That's a weird dream.
So did you use the bathtub?
No, I made like a big stink that there was no toilet, but I never ended up using the bathroom in the dream. And then I like hunted down some like kid who was hiding in her apartment. I'm like, where's our toilet?
That sounds like a good movie. You should make that.
It was a weird dream.
Yeah, write that down. That's a good narrative.
Well, now it's in print.
Now it's in audio. Yeah, somebody's already stole it. Yeah. NWA.
So what? The champion was Dusty Rhodes, but then the number one contender, they have Hawk of the Road Warriors.
Hawk, but just not Hawk. Animal.
Animal's not on the list.
Animal's not on the list.
But just Hawk is number one.
Hawk is number one. Ric Flair, number two. And Magnum TA is number three because he was probably U.S. champ at the time. And Lex Lugar is in there.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised because, you know, he was, you know, holding titles in Florida, but he wasn't. I don't know. Maybe.
Jimmy Valiant is in that list.
Jimmy Valiant shouldn't chart for anything. Jimmy Valiant lost to like Paul Jones like a million times. Like, what? How was he? I question the validity of this. And women's ratings, Fabulous Moolah, but I think like she's a champ, WWF champ at the time.
Yeah.
But they have. Like just random women,
yeah,
as the champs.
They just have the top 10 women all together.
Well, they have, yeah, they have like, so Debbie Combs, NWA champ, Candy Devine is the AWA champ. Somebody called Despina Montegas. I looked her up. She was a Greek wrestler. Mm-hmm. That wrestler, she married Mr. Goto in Japan. Sherry Martel, spelled wrong. There's a lot of misspellings. Yeah, and that's you know what? I think that's... Oh, we got also an article here about Rip Oliver. I'm sorry, I forgot about Rip.
He's got an army.
He's got an army.
Apparently.
With Bobby Jaggers, who later on they describe this picture of Bobby Jaggers of the Kansas Jayhawks fame. Not the basketball team, but the wrestlers with Dutch Mantel. He is giving a headlock to somebody, and they call him Hefty Bobby Jaggers. I'm like, aw.
He's hefty.
R.I.P. Bobby Jaggers, by the way.
Wow.
And then...
letters to the editor.
Then we get some letters, and then we get like a... So this is why this magazine is so weird. So you get these letters, and people are, you know, writing these letters, and they just have a random picture of... It says, English amateur wrestler John Tanner challenges American amateurs to a bout or two.
Oh.
And you, but you don't, you, all you see is a dude, you don't see his head, but somebody's stretching another dude like in a surfboard kind of move over his knees.
It's like in like.
But it looks like it's in a living room.
Yeah, it's like in a living room. And they're like, they look like they're in their underwear.
Yeah, it's like they're just like, hey, pose for a photo. Why don't you stretch this guy near my fireplace?
I don't even think he's posing. I think they just paused the VHS and took a tape, like took a picture.
And
they're just like watching borderline porn.
Well, that's your. And I think also somebody ripped up some stuff out of this magazine.
Oh, it looks like some color photos. Yeah. Like
yeah. Somebody took these.
Yeah.
Because then we jump right to like some wrestling women wrestling photos here.
Yeah, and, I found this magazine in a thrift store. So. But this is the whole this makes up for it right here, this color photo of Lady Maxine,
which is actually a really good photo.
Yeah, whom I never like I don't even remember Lady Maxine, but now that I look at this photo, I'm like, I want to rip this out and hang this on my wall.
Yeah,
because that would be awesome. But
good photo.
I might just take it to Kinko's and have it. Kinko's isn't even a thing anymore.
Yeah, it is.
No, FedEx is what they're called. Yeah, I might take it to FedEx and have them blow it up.
They got like this really old picture of like looks like Tony Atlas.
It's a great picture though.
It's a great picture, but it looks like it's like his first wrestling photo. Yeah.
Like it's funny because like he's really legit like cut and ripped in this photo, but he's even bigger now.
Yeah. Also, there's just also this photo of the Koloffs, and they're standing in what probably has to be the bloodiest ring I've ever seen.
What the hell happened on that show?
I don't know, but I want to see it. There's a white ring, and it's just like somebody it's bled all over it.
Covered in blood. Blood-stained apron.
And then, and also, Todd Champion versus Killer Khan. Khan is spelled wrong, and also, it's not Killer Khan.
No, that's not Killer
that's,
Khan.
That's Tejo Khan. Tejo Khan. So that's it for wrestling.
That's Wrestling Eye, October 86.
1986.
Yeah.
I want to read more Wrestling Eyes, to be honest. I'm kind of, I like finding them out and just seeing what randomness is in here. Are you taking a picture of this bloody ring?
I'm taking a picture of this bloody ring and I'm posting it on Instagram. What the hell happened in the previous matches?
Did somebody die? I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes you watch wrestling and you see people bleeding and you're like, if you didn't know the context of wrestling, you'd be like, did that person die? Like you think Dusty Rhodes has probably died a million times. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find myself, Sean, on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N, that's how you spell Sean.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sweatpants Joe, where you can see this photo of the Koloffs in a bloody apron that I just took a photo of, and I'm putting it on Instagram as we speak.
That is the most unsanitary ring I've ever seen in my life. I'm mortified, actually. I want to know, and I need to know the circumstances around it.
And as of recording time, we are now going to go watch the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, fun times for us. So next time on I Could Talk Kayfabe, we're going to talk more kayfabe.
Yeah, we're going to talk more kayfabe. Oh, and by the way, check out my other podcast if you like this show.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Check out Worst Collection Ever with my wife, Jen. We talk comic books and make fun of them like we do these wrestling magazines.
Yeah.
So check that out. So thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, check out my YouTube show where my YouTube show where I have a WWE universe going. As of this recording, I've yet to publish them, but I have one already shot. I just have to publish it, but So hopefully by the time you hear this, I'll have a couple up there. If not, look for me on YouTube at Sweatpants Joe, and you'll see my video. So,
right on. Yeah. Cool. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you again next time.